from KQED.
From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. Blanket Babylon, San Francisco's longest-running musical review, is coming to a close at the end of this year. The show, full of elaborate costumes and jokes at the expense of pop stars and politicians, has been running for 45 years, and we'll talk with producer Joe Schumann-Silver about the show's final season. Then at 10:30, today is Earth Day, and we'll look at the crisis facing the world's coral reefs and the efforts to grow and restore them. That's all next, after this news. Welcome back to Forum. I'm Michael Krasny.
San Francisco, open your golden gates. You let the stranger wait outside your door. San Francisco, here is your wandering one. Say it, I'll wander no more.
Well, when Beach Blanket Babylon opened in 1974, it was scheduled for a six-week run. 45 years and more than 17,000 performances later, San Francisco's longest-running musical, Revue, will close its curtains after a final 2019 New Year's Eve performance. And the show is known for its absurdist take on current events and for extravagant costumes, which tend to include enormous hats. Producer Joe Schumann-Silver and longtime Beach Blanket Babylon performer Kurt Branum join us in the studio for this segment to discuss saying goodbye and what to expect for Beach Blanket's final year. And welcome to both of you. Glad to have you both back.
Thank you, Michael.
Thank you very much.
Well, where do we begin? I was saying before we went on the air, this is a week of Passover, and maybe Dayenu, maybe enough is enough, and it's all been blessedly enough. But, you know, this has been an extraordinary run. It's actually not only the biggest musical, longest musical review in California, San Francisco, California, in the world, I think.
It's been in the world, yes.
And you have had quite a smashing success. It's as much a part of San Francisco, as many people have said, as the Golden Gate Bridge or the cable car. And now it must be sad in many ways.
Oh, are you kidding? I just heard San Francisco. I'm starting to cry.
Yeah, you would have to start with that, wouldn't you?
Sorry. It's, you know, people like Quentin Kopp, no less, wanted that to be the song rather than I Left My Heart In and so forth.
No, this is how we close our show every night.
I know.
It is San Francisco.
And we'll be always identified as San Francisco, and we'll probably hear from some of our listeners who have memories of specific shows, who attended specific shows, and that's part of what I want to do and saying goodbye. But, boy, when Steve Silver was alive, he thought, what, it was going to be maybe 6 weeks?
6 weeks, that's all he said, and I found a poster that, advertising Beach Blanket Babylon, 6 weeks only. And he always said that to me, and then, of course, the town loved the show, loved Steve, and won't let them leave.
Forgive me, Joe, not only the town, but it's so many tourists have seen
the
show.
Yeah, I can't just say the town.
Love the show.
Yeah.
And not only tourists, but Liza Minnelli, and, you know, the names have come up.
And the Queen of England.
The Queen of England, David Bowie.
Everybody's been to the show, and we're very grateful. We had a wonderful run.
And you even opened the Oscars. That, a lot of people don't remember.
I know, and we really got blasted. But for Steve Silver, that was the most fun for him. Everything was like a get-off for him. He always wanted to do the Oscars. He crossed it off his list. Even if it went down as, in history as the worst number that was ever in the Oscars, he still had a ball with it.
Well, you all had a ball, and you were like a family, and so this is a kind
of... But we still are.
It's a loss not to be putting on every day. I mean, you know, you keep up with the news, and you do sort of, in some ways, in a funny or spoofy parody way, what we do. I mean, you... You've got to do a show every day. Yeah. It's time maybe to reinvent yourself, Kurt?
It is. It is time to reinvent myself. I've been thinking about it a lot over the last 5 days. What's next? And I have so much life experience to give, whether it's in teaching or whether it's on stage. And I hope it's both. I hope I get to give back to the community and get back into film and television and back on the stage because it's what I know. Beach Blanket is what I do, and it's what I've learned, and it's what I've enjoyed. But really, acting is truly what I know, and I want to pass on what I know. I've studied with people who studied with Sandy Meisner and who studied with people in the Actors Studio. I want to pass on what they've taught me because I've used it every night in Beach Bike. And I know that sounds crazy that you could possibly use any acting technique in
Beach Bike. It sounds like you're giving yourself a good job interview here.
We make it look easy, and it's not. It's Beach not. Blanket is not easy. So many of those people you were talking about who come to see the show have tried to figure out, and we've tried to figure out, truly why the show works. I think it had that fairy dust. I think it had that moment in time. I think it had Steve Silver.
It
definitely had Steve Silver, but it had that fairy dust that just worked, and it was Steve's creativity, and it still blows us away that we think,
It's magical. It's fun.
But why? You know, John Cleese would come and watch the show and go, he watched it like three times within 2 weeks, and he kept going, why does this work? I just do not understand this.
John is too analytical.
He would sit there and laugh and laugh and study and study, and it was all ball to talk to him after the show because he loved theater and he was just trying to figure it out.
And we should say again that Kurt Brennan is a longtime performer in Beach Blanket of Babylon and played King Louis. You know, it's funny how you remember certain things. I remember Snow White, perhaps, not only because Val Diamond was with us the last time I think we did
it. Yeah, we were talking about the scholarship.
Yeah, and I remember Nancy Blaiweiss, of course. But King Louis was a pretty memorable character, too. And I also remember George Schultz as Superman and Charlotte Maillard as Wonder Woman. I mean, the things stay in the mind like
this.
They
might be back. They might be coming back.
They already applied for New Year's Eve to be in the show. And there's nobody like Charlotte because she was Steve Silver's best friend. So she's always been in different incarnations.
She's also chief of protocol, in fact.
Yep.
There has been.
And she's also the best. And then we met Mr. Schultz, who became as big a fan as Charlotte of the show. And he said, when can I be in? So this has been wonderful for us.
And who held, I believe, 4 cabinet posts, if I'm not incorrect on that. This is pop culture. This is parody. This is comedy, current events. There's so much together. But many people also remember the hats, most of all, I suppose, in many people's minds. And I'm looking at a description of, for people who don't know Beach Blanket of Babylon or have never seen it, a description appeared back in 1998 in the New York Times by Michael Janofsky, who said, if Seinfeld is about nothing, then this is about everything.
We love that.
Let's get some memories from our listeners. Let me invite you to join us here if you have some thoughts about Beach Blanket, if you have questions about it's coming to the close, New Year's Eve, and we'd certainly like to hear from you, and your thoughts are welcome, and your memories are welcome. You can join us at our toll-free number now. We've got Joe Schumann-Silver with us and Kurt Brennan, and you, if you want to join the program. 866-733-6786 is the number to call. This is a half-hour segment, so please feel free to join us now. And you can also join us by emailing us, forum@kqed.org, or going to our website, kqed.org/forum, if you have questions or comments about Beach Blanket Babylon or memories. And you can also, of course, join us by going by tweeting us. Our Twitter handle is @kqedforum. You still got a 4-year lease on Club Fugazi, you know?
I'm sorry?
You still have a 4-year lease on Club Fugazi. What's going to happen?
I don't know.
Too much of a pause. Okay, you don't know.
I'm sorry. I forgot. I really don't know. We've been very, very fortunate to be part of Club Fugazi. And I really don't know.
It's much, I guess it's easy to say, and let me go to you on this, Kurt. Things changed when Donald Trump became president. I mean, first of all, it made it a lot easier, I suppose.
Easier and harder. It's been fascinating to me because I think I've lived through, I think, 4 administrations. And I've lived through the Bush administrations in the bad times. And I played Dick Cheney. And I was never booed. When Trump makes his first entrance, he is booed for 5 to 10 seconds solidly. There might be some screams of yay, but very few. So it's been.
They hadn't seen the movie Vice, obviously, yet.
They hadn't seen the movie Vice. So it's very complicated. And again, the charm and the magic of Beach Blanket and Joe Schumann-Silver and Kenny Maslow, they came up with an idea of let's do the family Von Trumps. And let's spoof them as the family Von Trumps, and we'll sing a super well-known song.
Yep.
And I get to play Barron Trump, so I get to go. I go from Bernie Sanders to Barron within about 45 seconds. And we found these ways to present the Trumps that are funny and that we can laugh with them and at them and enjoy this moment and see the absurdity and the hypocrisy at the same time. That's the gift of the writing.
And thank heavens for that writing, because it's funny and it's wonderfully satiric, too.
We got this from Steve.
Well, you've done a lot for many years now. I mean, Steve is a seminal figure here, but I was reading the interview you did with Heather Knight, just speaking about Trump for a minute, and you said you got to know him through Clive Davis, and you said a couple of things that I was fascinated by. You said he's actually pretty charming, and he's really a Democrat.
He really is. And then I think
I believe that.
I think he's playing a role now because he knows what the audience wants. He's really still on television in his mind, but he knows how to play people. And that's what he's doing right now because he really was a Democrat.
And he
was a pro-choice Democrat, in fact. Yeah.
Right. But he tapped into something that the other politicians all ignored. And he found that gold in
and he's still playing it
in his constituency.
And the first audience, Savoy Tivoli in North Beach, right?
I wasn't even here. It was 1974. That's where Steve started. And he just did it because it was fun. And he had a lot of costumes and hats because he had a company called Rent-A-Freak. And he used to work at ACT. So he just decided, this was the 70s in San Francisco. So every day was a happening here. And he started on a street corner. And he said to his friends, maybe we can make enough money to go to Hollywood and Vine. And they made $79 that night. And then it just grew and grew and grew.
That's why I think it'll be, too, such a big loss for the city.
It is a big loss.
Because it is the city.
It's so quintessentially San Francisco.
It's a loss for the tourist industry of the city, too.
Yes, but we have a lot of locals that come every 6 months or every 3 months. And I can't tell you, the best part of my job is when I leave at night and there's a handful of people out there that just want to say thank you and they're still laughing at characters and they're still having a great time. It's just, it won't work everywhere in the world. It doesn't work, but it works here.
Joe, are you getting a little far clumped on this?
We went to London. We went to Las Vegas. It can work most places.
Are we making an announcement that we might be taking it on the road?
But if we make it about the city. This is how Steve left it. But
you could do what the Raiders did. You could go to Las Vegas and do Las Vegas.
No, this is our home.
I do want to give Joe Schumann-Silver so much credit because she kept this. I was there when Steve passed, and we thought that was hard. We thought that was complicated. We thought that this could be over. And we did the show that night the same way we did the show this last Wednesday when we found out the show was closing. And we did it with joy and we did it with professionalism. But Joe kept it going even longer than Steve had it. And I think that's really important. And I just want to give a shout out to my dear friends at the show and Val Diamond, who I just learned everything I know about acting.
Spectacular performer. You talk about friends. I mean, this was really a family.
This is a family, and that's the worst thing about this, Michael, is seeing everybody and experiencing this family, this completely dysfunctional family. We have the best conversations, though. We're talking about politics. We're talking about movies. We're talking about life. We're talking about loss. I've raised a child. We've purchased homes. We have lives here because of Steve and Joe.
And they're all coming back New Year's Eve, okay?
We got some callers and we got some memories pouring in here. Let me just read a few things that are coming in. Tahir writes, it's 24 plus years since the time I went. I recall enjoying the show immensely and those hats. Oddly enough, I was thinking of taking my wife to see a Beach Blanket Babylon show. She moved here from Austin. I better hurry. Dean writes, for years, Runaround Sue pops into my head every time I see a black French poodle. Mm-hmm. And here's a caller from San Mateo. David, you're on the air.
Hi. Good morning. Thanks for taking my call. I just want to say we were a transplant from the East Coast. We've seen San Francisco Beach Blanket Babylon. We love it. It's probably been one of the best nights we've ever had in San Francisco. We actually have tickets again for July because our birthdays are very close together. And it's trashy and it's kitsch and it's profound and it is an amazing night. And if no one's ever seen it, they're fooled not to go.
Thank you for that call. Joe may want to hire you as a part-time publicist, but very well said and appreciate
and
your call.
David, please stop by and say hi when you come in July. I'd love to meet you and say hello.
And another caller joining us is Greg. Greg, you're on the air.
Hi, good morning, Michael. Thanks for taking my call. And to you guys, hey, just wanted to say, Greg, congratulations for what was an amazing run. I wanted to say that my mom, Carolyn, took me to Beach Blanket in its original way back in the old days because she had a really great friend who happened to be by the name of Billy Philadelphia.
Oh, of course.
And I remember Billy quite well. Yeah.
You know, having him in my life as a friend and a close family friend really gave a lot of richness to the show and my understanding of it. And
He was a musical guy. Judy's asking me. He was a piano player, and he was quite talented.
He played piano at my wedding to Jake Hagee.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, he's terrific.
Yeah. And I had the honor. I had the honor of barbecuing. My sister and I actually got to be the barbecue pitmasters as teenagers at a cast party at Billy's house, and I got to meet all those original people, and they were just fantastic. But I was hoping you could expand a little bit on the sort of musical evolution of the show, and I've seen it again in the years previous, you know, in the years following, and I look forward to seeing it a couple more times before it goes away. But I was hoping you could just talk about that evolution of the insane music that was such a backdrop to that great show.
Greg, thanks for the question. Joe, what about the music and how it evolved?
It evolved through Steve Silver because when he first started in the 70s, show music was really popular. And as rock and roll got stronger and more important, then it became rock and roll. And then we have opera in it. Anything that is popular at that moment, we could get in the show.
And funny.
And funny. Always has to be funny.
It has to be funny. What if somebody came to you now, though, and said, I'm going to get some money, some investors, and we're going to buy the show from you and offer
you. I can't sell it.
Sell it.
Huh? No, I can't.
Here's a tweet from Patrick. Remember, we talked about scholarships on the air for Beach Blanket?
Yeah. The scholarship is June 3rd.
Well, I want you to talk about that, but here's Patrick who tweets, I won the 2009 Beach Blanket scholarship for acting, and it totally changed the course of my life. Forever grateful to Beach Blanket Babylon
Patrick
and
Varney?
All the amazing folks at Club Fugazi.
Is his name Patrick Varney?
It just says Patrick. He tweeted.
Oh, that's wonderful.
That makes us feel so good.
They are all so talented. Everybody comes to that scholarship show.
And, you know, the alumni come back. And whoever won last year gives a check to the winners this year. We love the scholarship.
Oh, it was Patrick Varner.
I remember him.
And here's another caller joining us. Karen, you're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning. Well, thank you so much for what you've offered the Bay Area. And I have a fabulous memory of seeing you years ago. I'm determined to get my 16-year-old son to come see it with me before you guys end this run. And I want to make sure I understand correctly that there's shows that are just for young people, or that you can only bring young people to, or can you bring them to any of the shows?
You can bring under 21 Sundays only at 2 p.m. and 5 p.m.
Yeah, and I brought my kid. My younger daughter
was
very interested in seeing Beach Blanket, yeah.
And then we'll be adding matinee shows at Christmas time. Any of the 5 p.m. shows are also under 21 is allowed.
So the last show is going to be New Year's Eve, and that's going to be a big celebration as well, yeah. Okay, let me thank Karen for the call. Ron is next. Ron, you're on.
Hi. I came to San Francisco in October of 1974. On vacation, and the usual, I never went back to Wisconsin. I got my first job on November the 1st, and the Christmas party for the company I worked for had entertainment, and it was these dancing Christmas trees and, you know, just bizarreness going on. And I'm thinking, I made the right choice, and of course, it became Beach Blanket Babylon. So I've known you since you were born. And I've attended the show about 4 or 5 times. One time was a Sunday matinee, and our seats were in the balcony right next to Cyril Magnin. which was a hoot. He was a very nice man.
How many shows did he go to? Do you have any idea?
We have a record of like 1,000, but I really don't know. But we have seats in the balcony called Cyril Magnon Row. And we have our seats in the front called Cyril Magnon's Table. Every part of Cyril is all over the theater.
And one more. I remember I also went to the opera every Friday night. And one year, I don't remember the year, Joan Sutherland appeared in The Merry Widow. And the young soprano role was sung by Nancy Bleiweiss. So she appeared with Joan Sutherland in The Merry Widow on the stage at the San Francisco Opera. And that was fun, too. So
really? She was very talented.
Val Diamond, I worship the ground she stands on.
So do we.
Oh, yeah.
So do we.
Thank you, Ron. Actually, I think it's in our archives, the time that Joe and Val were here on the forum program. O'Connor writes, big question. I don't know if we've confronted this fully. Why is the show shutting down after 45 years?
Okay, that was my decision. Steve told me that I would know when the right time is. And about 3 years ago, I'm at the show and I said, you know what? I think we're going to make a change. There was nothing happened or anything. And I've been talking to my family and my friends and everything. And I kept saying, I know this is horrible, but I have to close the show while we're on top, because I never wanted anything to happen to the show. And we're on top right now. And
it's time.
It's time. It is time.
Let me read another tweet from Reed, who writes, I am an audio tech and worked on the 25th anniversary show at Herbst. I was running from stage right to stage left all evening, handing off microphones. Charlotte Myard Schultz swung out above the audience on a huge trapeze swing. It was wonderful.
That was insanity. The 25th was insanity because that backstage was so big. We are used to about 20 feet. And I think backstage at the Herbst is probably closer to 80, and so it was insanity.
It was sensational. Ivy was in it, Danielle Steele was in it, all of our friends.
And it was the silver anniversary.
It was a
beautiful silver hat is still around.
And how big is the cityscape, actually? I mean, you've measured it, haven't you?
You mean the big hat?
The big hat, yeah.
You know, I really don't know.
It's huge.
It's huge. We have different sizes of
it. Huge.
Yes.
Or as our president would say, huge.
Yes.
It's huge.
Huge.
It really is.
What's next for you, Joe?
I don't know. We might have a beach blanket show, either at a museum or a standalone place, to show off all of these fantastic hats and costumes and props. But right now, the most important thing is doing the best show we possibly can.
Great memories and great fun that you've had, and congratulations on an extraordinary run. You're going to get far clumped again because this music's coming up here. Thank you both for joining us. We've been talking with Joe Schumann Silver, producer of Beach Blanket Babylon, and Kurt Branham, who is a performer in Beach Blanket Babylon. The show is shutting down its doors, but will long be remembered. And up ahead, we're going to talk, now it's Earth Day, we're going to talk about coral reefs. Stay tuned. I'm Michael Krasny.